We thank God, our Father, that we could come back together again to worship Him. Some of us had a rough week, but thank God He's given us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ.
Yes.
Touch the button. Shame on me. That's all right. We start.
This is how I fight my battles.
I'm surrounded, but
I'm surrounded by you. It may look like I'm surrounded, but I'm surrounded by you. It may look like I'm surrounded, but I'm surrounded by you.
It may look like I'm surrounded, but I'm surrounded by you.
it's like you're surrounded by your enemy, everybody's surrounded by your God. Amen. Today's responsive reading is from Isaiah chapters 52, 13 through 53, 12. Behold, my servant shall act wisely. He shall be high and lifted up and shall be exalted. As many were astonished at you, his appearance was so marred beyond human semblance and his form beyond that of the children of mankind, so shall he sprinkle many nations. Kings shall cut their mouths because of him. For that which has not been told them they see, and that which they have not heard they understand.
Who has believed what he has heard from us? And to whom has the arm of the Lord been revealed? For he grew up like a young plant and like a root out of dry ground. He had no form or majesty that we should look at him, and no beauty that we should desire him.
He was despised and rejected by men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief, and as one from whom men hide their faces, he was despised, and we esteemed him not. Surely he has borne our griefs and carried our sorrows, yet we esteemed him stricken, smitten by God, and afflicted.
But he was pierced for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. Upon him was the chastisement that brought us peace, and with his wounds we are healed. All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way, and the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all.
He was oppressed and he was afflicted, yet he opened not his mouth. Like a lamb that is led to the slaughter, and like a sheep that before its shears is silent, so he opened not his mouth. By oppression and judgment he was taken away. And as for his generation, who considered that he was cut off out of the land of the living, stricken for the transgressions of many people.
And they made his grave with the wicked and with the rich man in his death, although he had done no violence and there was no deceit in his mouth. Yet it was the will of the Lord to crush him. He has put him to grief. When his soul makes an offering for guilt, he shall see his offspring. He shall prolong his days. The will of the Lord shall prosper in his hand.
Together.
Out of the anguish of his soul, he shall see and be satisfied. By his knowledge shall the righteous one, my servant, make many to be accounted righteous, and he shall bear their iniquities. Therefore, I will divide him a portion with the many, and he shall divide the spoil with the strong, because he poured out his soul to death and was numbered with the transgressors. Yet he bore the sin of many and makes intercession for the transgressors.
Let us pray. Father, in Jesus' name, we thank you, Lord. We thank you for Jesus. We acknowledge that we couldn't even be in relationship with you without him. We thank you that he was obedient all the way to the cross. But we know that death could not hold him. He has victory. He made victory for us all. And we are so grateful. And we thank you for your deep love for us. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. I haven't done this one in a while. Not since we've been back.
resurrecting me. In your name I come alive to declare your victory. The resurrected King is resurrecting me. By your Spirit I will rise from the ashes of defeat. The resurrected King is resurrecting me. In your name I come alive to declare your victory. The resurrected King is resurrecting me. The resurrected King is resurrecting me. The resurrected King. The tomb where soldiers washed in vain was borrowed for 3 days. His body is resurrecting me. In your name I come alive to declare your victory. The resurrected King is resurrecting me. The resurrected King is resurrecting me. The resurrected King is resurrecting me.
Without the sacrificial death of Christ, we would still be overcome by sin and unforgiving. But our story doesn't end at his death. Because of Jesus' resurrection, his promise holds true to us. Because I live, you also live. And because of what he's done for us, let us sing of his great love for us forever.
Amen. Thank you.
Faithfulness, your
altar call. I'm going to have pastor come. Lead us to the throne. So we go together and pray.
Amen.
Amen.
Praise her size. That's when you praise and get your exercise at the same time. Amen. That's my excuse for trying to get out of working out Monday. Amen. Jesus be working a brother out. Amen. Because we don't push the spreader. And we used to have a saying, push the spreader to make you feel better. Amen. But we don't push the spreader no more, so I have to actually work out. Regularly. I don't like regularly. Amen. I'm sometime early. Not regularly. Amen.
Amen.
Open up your hearts to the Lord. Let him in.
Yes, yes.
I know we have these places in us that we block people from. We don't want them to know. Because we don't know if they're going to go spread our business all over the world. But Jesus won't do that. He says, cast your care on me because I care for you. He already cares for you, so you don't have to pray like you don't care. He knows what things make you anxious. He knows what things make you afraid. Amen. And we heard a powerful sermon yesterday that was simply two words, fear not. Amen. I learned from yesterday, that's over in the Bible, 360 plus times God says, fear not. Amen.
Amen.
I also heard that from Dr. Tony Evans this morning, that godliness is something that we can obtain. It is not something that is impossible for us to have, because God's given us everything we need to live godly lives. But then there's also this caveat. Know this, that those who choose to live holy, notice I said choose to, it's a choice. Those who choose to live holy shall suffer persecution. Amen. Amen. We're going to wait on King Darius and the prophet Malachi to go ahead and get situated. Praise the Lord. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I wish I was. Can I start that, y'all? Can I? Hallelujah. Amen. That make it holier. Because you go, hallelujah. Amen. Amen. Let us pray. Lord God, our Father, we give thanks today and we praise your holy name. We thank you, Heavenly Father, that you are a God and Father to us. We thank you, Jesus, that you are our Lord and Savior to us. And we thank you, Jesus, for keeping your promise. You said that you wouldn't leave us like orphans, but you would send the Holy Spirit. You said when you go away, he's coming. You left Jesus 10 days later. He came and has been with us ever since. He is the power, Lord, that we need. He is the power that you talked about in Acts 1:8. You said when we accept you as Lord and Savior, when the Holy Spirit comes, he will give us power. He will give us power to live for you in an ungodly world. And so, Jesus, we thank you for being faithful and true. You always keep your word. And in the person of the Holy Spirit, you are with us. You are present with us 24/7, 365. All we have to do is listen. We don't have to talk a lot, but we listen, because you said in John 16, 12 through 15, when he, the Holy Spirit, is come, he will guide you into all truth. He will not speak on his own, but he'll speak only what he has heard from you, Jesus. And we know everything that he heard from you, you heard from your Father. And then you said what he heard from you, what you heard from your Father, he would speak to us about that. And so he's been doing that ever since we've been saved. But Lord Jesus, help us not to grieve the Holy Spirit. Help us when the Spirit tells us, go this way, go that way, don't do this, don't do that. Help us to obey, even if we don't understand why. Help us to listen anyway. Help us, Heavenly Father, to always wake up every single day with a day of praise, with a mouth full of thanksgivings, with a mouth full of wonder about the day that you blessed us to see with these eyes again. We're still on this side of life, Father. That means we're living in great expectation. We're like Anna and we're like Simeon over in Luke chapter 2. Both of them lived in great expectation every day for a long time. They had to wait until they were old till they finally saw the promise that you made to them come to pass. You told Simeon that he wouldn't die until he saw the salvation of Israel. And he held that baby in his arms. You told Anna to remain faithful, and she did. After her husband had died after 7 years of marriage, she remained faithful at the age of 84. She was still in your house and would never leave. And she was able to hold that baby in her arms and pronounce a blessing and a warning to the mother. So, Father, we thank you for your faithfulness throughout the years. If you were faithful to them, you would be faithful to us. If we lean, trust, and rely only on you, if we acknowledge all our ways unto you, we're guaranteed to have you direct the path that we go down. And Father, we know that if we go down the path that you lead us down, if we, like Jesus, go down the path led by the Holy Spirit into the wilderness, we know that you will keep us where people can't live. You'll empower us with your word so we can survive the attacks that we face out there from the devil. You're always trying to tell us you don't care about us. You're always trying to make us believe that you're a hard God to serve, that you are. Father, we thank you so much that you ain't none of that. Whenever the devil comes to tell us what you are, we respond like Jesus with the word that describes who you are. We stand on that word, and we know as long as we do, he cannot defeat us. He can speak all the nonsense into our ears that he wants to, just like he did with Adam and Eve. But like Adam and Eve, we will stand on your word. We won't do like they did. We won't, because our flesh wants to be apart from you anyway. We'll recognize what he did to them and not let him do it to us. We will remain faithful to you, Lord, even if we think some things about you are unfair. They thought it was unfair that they couldn't have that tree. They thought it was unfair that they couldn't self-determine. And so, Father, they went with what he said because that's what they wanted. Help us, Jesus, to do what you said. You said, deny yourself. Right. Take up the cross and follow me. Lord, help us to do that. That is something we can do. You would not tell us to do something we cannot do.
All right.
Father, we thank you that you are undergirding the Ukrainians. They're fighting against the devil and Russia. He's working through Russia to destroy them. But you fighting back through the Ukrainians to hold them off. And Lord, they thought they was going to run in there and just take over. But just like you empowered Israel, who was always overrun with enemies, you gave them the victory, and you're doing the same thing for the Ukrainians. Lord, I pray that you bless the Russian people, those who still belong to that Eastern Orthodox Catholic Church. I pray, Lord, that those who are yet believers in Russia would be like the Hebrew boys, would be like Daniel, and would not see themselves as small or grasshoppers in their eyes, but would take the faith that you gave them and learn that this is how we fight our battles. It does not matter that we are outnumbered, but we have you as our God and Father. Lord Jesus, you're the standard bearer. You are the one who held the sword in front of Joshua. You are the King of the Lord's armies. You are the Lord of hosts. I ask, Lord, that you bless them like you did David going up against Goliath. He was surely outmatched. But because of his faith in you, because he would not allow the God of Israel to be defamed like that, he was willing to lose his life if he had to for your fame, for your glory. And Father, we still talk about David today, one little bitty man who made all that big old change. Little bitty Hebrew boy, teenagers made all that change. Daniel, just a teenager, brought. They ran Babylon. They ran the Medo-Persian Empire. As long as your people were around, wherever you raised them up, Lord, they started running things. So I pray, Heavenly Father, with all the troubles we see going on in our world today, that we do not become discouraged, but Lord, that we remain faithful to you.
Yes.
That we do what Crystal talks about on Saturdays, that we go to Jerusalem, that we go to Judea, we go to Samaria, to places and things and people we don't even like, and that we carry this word to the uttermost parts of this earth, so that Jesus, when you come back, we can say like you said to your Father, we can say, Lord, we're ready to go. We brought you glory on this earth by finishing the work of witnessing. the work of teaching those who are in Christ and the work of helping those who are in or outside the body of Christ. Now we ask that you receive us as you asked your Father to receive you. But Lord, we ain't there yet. We're yet here. Bless us now. Father, we didn't come out here just to sing, but we did come to sing together corporately, raise up praises to your name. But we come here for a word, Father. Like Deaconess Kathy Clyburn says, the best part. We love the singing. We love the praise, but it's not the word, even though it's the word sung out. It's the word lifted up. But now we've come to hear the word broken down. We've come to hear the word exegeted. We come to figure out how to eisegete, to fix it into our daily life so we can live it out when we go down from this mountain. Help us, Lord. You know, Jesus, we talk a long time, but we're in church right now, and I got to cut this out. These are your people, Lord. These are the people who you purchased with your own blood. You sacrificed yourself so that we could be yours. And so these are your people, Lord Jesus. I ask that you bless them, and I know that you will. So we all together say amen,
amen.
And thank you.
Amen.
Amen.
Y'all can stand on your feet. Thank you.
Victory belongs to Him. Victory belongs to Jesus. Victory belongs to Him. Victory belongs to Jesus. Victory belongs to Him. Victory belongs to Jesus. Victory belongs to Him. Victory belongs to Him. Victory belongs to Jesus. Victory belongs to Him. Victory belongs to Jesus. Victory belongs to Him. Victory belongs to Jesus. Victory belongs to Him.
Like the scripture says, let everything that have breath praise the Lord. So if you have breath, you need to praise the Lord. Because He wrought the victory. Let's jump in. Let's jump in. Something when give or do responsive readings. I like to sometimes change to keep fresh every week. The Lord stuck with this passage. And last Sunday when I was sitting here, I realized why. Because He said, I need you to talk about this passage. So today we're going to be in our responsive reading found in Isaiah chapter 52, verses 13 through 53:12. But I'm coming from the English Standard Version because that's where I'm living at right now. It's okay because your Bible translations will tell you the same things, most of them. But it's not on just you reading the text. It is on the Spirit of God breaking it open and you hearing the text. So Lord, my prayer simply is that we have eyes to see, ears to hear, a heart to understand, and feet to move on it. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Isaiah chapter 52 starting. Isaiah probably is like, why does she keep calling my name? Isaiah chapter 52, And I'm going to just read it. I'm going to break it up for you. So right now I'm going to read from chapter 52, verses 13 through 15, where it reads as follows. Behold, my servant shall act wisely. He shall be high and lifted up and shall be exalted. As many were astonished at you, his appearance was so marred behind human semblance and his form beyond that of the children of mankind. So shall he sprinkle many nations. Kings shall shut their mouths because of him. For that which has not been told them they see, and that which they have not heard they understand. Book of Isaiah gives us this beautiful poem. This is a poem in this book about a wise servant who will be high and lifted up and shall be exalted. But he also suffered, being marred so badly he won't look human. He, this servant, is in his suffering, he will sprinkle many nations. This is a reference to the lamb who was slaughtered for the guilt offering, which can be found in Leviticus chapter 7, verse 2. Where it says that when the lamb was slaughtered, the blood is thrown against the side of the altar. Why? For the cleansing of sin. This is a setup for the rest of the passage, describing who is this servant, how he would suffer, and sprinkle the nations, cleansing the whole world. So we continue. Chapter 53, verse 1 says, who has believed what he's heard from us? And to whom has the arm of the Lord been revealed? The arm of the Lord, it's a key reference. First off, the passage starts with, who's believed what he's heard? In other words, who's going to believe this? Who's going to believe what we're about to tell you about this servant? The arm of the Lord, this phrase not only refers to the earthly manifestation of the redemptive power of God, but to a person who would redeem the servant. The arm of the Lord is found in Exodus. Let's turn to it, chapter 6, because I don't want y'all to take my word for it. I want you to be Bereans and read it for yourself. Exodus chapter 6. And verse 6 says this. Say therefore to the people of Israel, I am the Lord, and I will bring you out from under the burdens of the Egyptians, and I will deliver you from slavery to them, and I will redeem you with an outstretched arm and with great acts of judgment. The Lord, Yahweh, God, will deliver them. He will bring them out with an outstretched arm, with the arm of the Lord. It's what is called an anthropomorphism, which means it's giving human characteristics to something that is not human, because we know God is spirit. So God doesn't have an arm if he's a spirit. Spirits don't have arms.
Amen.
Olé.
That's true. Right.
So this is giving a human characteristic. But Isaiah takes it even further, because the poem says that God's arm is actually a person. Deuteronomy, Moses uses this 5 times to remind the children of Israel that it is the outstretched arm, the arm of the Lord that has delivered you. The arm of the Lord that has brought you out of slavery. The arm of the Lord that has defeated your enemies. So when the poet is writing in Isaiah, because it is a poem, I'm telling y'all, go back to Isaiah 53. He's saying that the arm of the Lord is the Lord himself. He is the divine warrior. This is the title of my sermon today. The divine warrior. Chapter 53, verses 2 and 3 read as follows. For he grew up before him like a young plant and like a root out of dry ground. He had no form or majesty that we should look at him, and no beauty that we should desire him. He was despised and rejected by men,
a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief, and as one from whom men hide their faces, he was despised, and we esteemed him not. The passage is saying this divine warrior would be human, made from dust, just like us. This divine warrior is a regular person, not some king, not some gladiator. This divine person is no one special. He would experience life just like us. A man who is acquainted with sorrows and grief. Not royalty, but a servant, a slave. Not King David taking out Goliath. Ooh, Pastor, I almost jumped off that bench in your prayer. Wiping out the Philistines. This divine warrior is not going to throw down like David did. Because he is a divine warrior. I'm sorry, he is the divine warrior. Because divine denotes divinity. Keep reading. 53 verses 4 through 8. Surely he has borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. Yet we esteemed him stricken, smitten by God and afflicted. But he was pierced for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. Upon him was the chastisement that brought us peace. And with his wounds, we are healed. Don't miss this. The first word in verse 6 says, oh, okay, y'all thought y'all was rolling with me. The first verse in verse 6 says, all. All means all. All means all. Everybody. All. All. We, like sheep, have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way. And the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. He was oppressed and he was afflicted, yet he opened not his mouth. Like a lamb that is led to slaughter, and like a sheep that is before his shearers is silent, so he opened not his mouth. By oppression and judgment, he was taken away, and as for his generation, who considered that he was cut off from the land of the living, stricken for the transgression of my people? Question. State what? This divine warrior, God's redemptive power, would suffer for what we have done. He would be perceived as guilty for his own sins, but actually suffering for our sins. He would be the lamb who is slaughtered, the guilt offering. He whose blood would be thrown against the altar for all of us. Look at the words used to describe his suffering on our behalf. It says he was stricken. He was smitten. He was afflicted. He was pierced. He was crushed. He was punished. He was wounded. He was judged. He was cut off for us. This divine warrior, he would die without any offspring, any children. Why? For the transgression of us. Verse 9 of chapter 53. And they made his grave with the wicked and with the rich man in his death, although he had done no violence and there was no deceit in his mouth. This divine warrior would be buried with wicked sinners in a rich man's grave, even though, unlike us, he was completely innocent. Do you see this warrior?
Yes.
Do you get a picture?
Yes.
I know you itching because you know the answer.
Right.
But let me get there.
Go ahead.
All right. Verses 10 and 11 say this. Yet, look at this. It was the will of the Lord to crush him. Don't miss that. Highlight it. Underline it. Yet, it was the will of the Lord to crush him. He has put him to grief when his soul has made an offering for guilt, our guilt offering. He shall see his offspring
He shall prolong his days, and the will of the Lord shall prosper in his hand. Out of the anguish of his soul, he shall see and be satisfied. By his knowledge shall the righteous one, my servant, make many to be accounted righteous, and he shall bear their iniquities. Y'all, this was the will of God. This was the plan all along, that a warrior would come, that a warrior would come from above, a divine warrior, and he would execute the redemptive plan. He would pay the price. He would redeem us by making this divine warrior our guilt offering. See, he didn't do it by sword, not by might, nor by power, but by my spirit, says the Lord. In other words, I'm not going to fix this with an act of Congress. I'm not going to fix this with the edict of a king. I'm going to fix this with the sacrifice of my son. This is the will of God. But catch this in verse, in that part of 53, the second part of verse 10, it says, when his soul shall make an offering for guilt, he shall see his offspring. But I thought he said over there that he was cut off before he had offspring. So now he's saying he shall see his offspring? How many dead folks see their offspring? Because a divine warrior will not stay dead and buried in that rich man's grave. He will rise up and he will see that his sacrifice was worth it.
Yes. Yes.
That he would be victorious and he would make many righteous, sprinkling the nations, having many offspring. Verse 12. Therefore, and we know when we see therefore, we have to ask. Given everything that's been said, I will divide him a portion with the many, and he shall divide the spoil with the strong, because he has poured out his soul to death and was numbered with the transgressors, yet he bore the sin of many and makes intercession for the transgressors. This divine warrior is not just a victor. He is an overcoming conqueror. He is a king, because the spoils go to the king. Even when the greatest warrior would go out and fight a battle in ancient times, when he would come back with all of the slaves and all of the treasures and all of the things that he would get from the nation he overcame, he would march into the palace and present it to the king. But this passage said that our divine warrior is the one who's going to get the spoils. They're his. All of the prizes are his. All of those who were enslaved are his. Everything belongs to him. Victory belongs to Jesus. He's the king, and he redeems the earth and mankind. He take away our sin and defeat death, sharing his victory with us.
Amen.
He says he'll divide the spoil with his offspring.
Amen.
Us, those who believe.
Okay.
Y'all, when this was written, they had no idea who this would be. No idea. As a matter of fact, if you go to most rabbis, they don't even include this passage. They've removed it from their text because they cannot imagine that the divine warrior would suffer. But some folks believed it. They wrote it down. They left it. God preserved it so that we could read it today. Why? Because this divine warrior did come.
This divine warrior would be born in a stable in Bethlehem over 700 years later to some poor folks. Well, nobody noticed that. Nobody paid no attention except some wise men from the east that this baby was the divine warrior. They would name him Jesus because he would save his people from their sins. He'd be raised in the slums of Galilee. For all y'all who sad because you come from the hood, Jesus did too.
Amen.
They said to him, can nothing good, no prophet comes out of Nazareth. Nothing good comes out of Jerusalem. Galilee, what? It's the hood. All them folks related to each other. That's where Jesus was from. So when you trying to identify with folks from Beverly Hills and all those places, Manhattan, would you rather identify with Jesus?
Amen.
What did it say about him? Said that he would be acquainted with grief because he was around people who died. I'm thinking of a lady who was on the way to bury her only son, grieving. And when Jesus walked by, he saw her plight and he raised him. I think of a man, a synagogue leader, whose little girl was sick. But while Jesus was on his way to go and see about this sick little girl, there was this woman who had this issue of blood. And we women know and understand that this issue of blood rendered her unclean, which means for 12 years, she had PMS like you would not believe. She couldn't even sit on her own furniture or be around her people because she was continuously seen as unclean for 12 years and paid every doctor she could find. And this woman had the audacity to crawl to Jesus and say to herself, if I could just touch the hem of his garment, I will be made whole. And she was immediately. Jesus said, virtue has went out. Power has gone out from me. Somebody touched me in faith, believing who I am, and they got healed. But while he stopped, the little girl died, and Jesus said, don't worry. I'm going to see about that too. Because I know they're grieving. The mourners had already showed up early to cry. And Jesus went to that house. And he raised that little girl. He said, little girl, get up. So he was acquainted with grief. He was acquainted with sorrows. When people ran up in him and said, Jesus, son of the Most High God, have mercy on me. I got 1,000 demons running around in my head. Ain't no medication for this. And he had mercy on them and cast out those spirits. Or the woman who was bent over, looking at the floor for almost years and years, never being able to lift up. And he said, Satan has bound her, but I have bound Satan. Get up, daughter. He was acquainted with grief. He was acquainted with sorrow. He knew. He looked out on the people. Thirsty because they've been going to church. They've been giving all their money to the temple. The Pharisees could give them no relief. All they could do was give them more burdens, more rituals, more responsibilities. And they were like sheep without a shepherd. And the divine warrior came and said, I am the good shepherd. I lay down my life for my sheep. I don't take from my sheep and make them make my life better. Because he was the divine warrior, the one who they said about in Isaiah.
Amen.
He'd be hungry. And then Holy Spirit dropped this on me at 5:00 this morning. He'd be lonely, but he'd also be rejected. Turn to John chapter 12. Turn to John chapter 12. Let me grab some water. And let's pick up. Jesus has ridden into Jerusalem with that triumphal entry. Everybody putting down palm branches. Hosanna. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. This is the one he about to take over. He this divine warrior we about to fight. And here we have in John chapter 12 and verse 31, it reads as follows. I'm sorry, before I get there, there was a voice that came from heaven that glorified him and said, this is my son, y'all. This is the divine warrior, y'all. And then Jesus says this in verse 31. Now is the judgment of this world. Now will the ruler of this world be cast out. Not later, not in 1,000 years, not at the end of the church age, not at the end of time. This is Jesus standing there declaring at that time that the ruler of the world will be cast out. Okay. Don't miss it. Because we miss stuff. We looking forward to a lot of stuff that's already happened. Amen. This divine warrior, let me continue. He said, when I am lifted up, didn't Isaiah say something about a lifted up and exalted one? He said, when I am lifted up from the earth, will draw all people to myself. Not some, all. And then he said, this is to show what kind of death he was going to die. So the crowd answered him, We heard from the law that the Christ remains forever. So how can you say that the Son of Man must be lifted up? Who is this Son of Man? Because Isaiah said he would be human. So Jesus said to them, the light is among you for a little while longer. Walk while it is light, while you have the light, lest darkness overtake you. The one who walks in the darkness does not know where he's going. While you have the light, believe in the light that you may become sons of light. When Jesus had said these things, he departed and hid himself from them. Though he had done so many signs before them, they still did not believe in him. So the word spoken by the prophet Isaiah might be fulfilled. Lord, who has believed what he heard from us? And to whom has the arm of the Lord been revealed? That wasn't just a poem. That was prophecy. Declaring that when they saw this one, they wouldn't believe it. When they saw this one and the miracles, the things that he wasn't running around gathering up a whole crew, getting all the artillery he could get, getting all the weapons he could get, getting the baddest dudes from the MAA and all those places to come and the gladiators to fight on his team.
Okay.
Mind you, he's casting out the ruler of this world and he's not taking up a weapon.
Yeah.
Why?
Yeah.
Because he would not take over by taking out. He would take over by being lifted up. He let himself be arrested, tried and found guilty, although he was innocent. He would not fight back. He was beaten beyond recognition, cursed and lifted up on a cross. He'd take on to himself the sins of us all and shed his blood as our guilt offering. He'd give up his life, die, be buried, but 3 days later, he'd get up and declare we were worth it. God was pleased with his sacrifice. Our sin debt has been paid. 40 days later, this divine warrior would return to heaven and sit at the right hand of the Father, exalted, the victor with all power on heaven and in on earth in his hands. Sharing the spoils of his victory, not stuff, but redemptive power of God at work in those who believe. Yes. He set the captives free. Yes. He's interceding for us, empowering us through the Holy Spirit to tell others about this divine warrior who has defeated every enemy we face and has given us new life. Victory belongs to Jesus.
Amen.
Victory belongs to him. Victory belongs to Jesus. He died, but he got up. He has all power. He's given us access to all power. He's sharing his spoils with us. Everything he has, we have access to. Why? divine warrior. Yes. He and he alone is worthy of worship.
Yes,
he is.
So today, if you don't understand the price that was paid for you, let me give you some good news.
Yes.
The price was so high,
yes,
that God himself was the only one who could pay it.
Yes.
And he did.
Amen.
Stop trying to pay off your sin debt. You don't even know what the balance is. And because of Jesus, you will never see your balance. Because on your account, it's not zero. It is a number because you have been given his righteousness. So he didn't just give you an empty, he didn't just, you know, you look forward to your credit card receipt coming and it say balance zero.
Yeah.
That's good news for a debt, but how's about tomorrow? Because see what the problem is too many of us are so glad that the debt has been paid, we forgot what he deposited in our accounts. He has given us his spirit living inside. The same spirit that worked through him to raise people from the dead, to heal the sick, to cast out demons, to overrule the ruler of this world. Stop living like he doesn't live. He lives. He lives. Christ Jesus lives today. He walks with me. He talks with me along life's narrow way. He lives. He lives. Salvation to impart. You ask me how I know he lives? Because he lives within my heart. Thank you, Jesus. Victory belongs to Jesus. Victory belongs to him. Victory belongs to Jesus. Father, we thank you for Jesus. Lord, if there's anybody here that does not know what he has done, I pray that they've heard so clearly that all they can do is drop down and say, I believe.
Yes.
Oh, you made it so easy for us. We don't have to jump through no hoops. We don't have to go slaughter no animals.
Yes.
The word says if we believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, we'll be saved.
Yes. Come on.
But not just saved from going to hell, giving new life,
yes,
sharing in the spoils, having all power available to us. We thank you, Jesus.
Yes.
And for your children who have not been using their inheritance, Father, I pray today this stirs them up.
Yes.
That they stir up and they get about doing your business. Everybody needs to know about this divine warrior. We've had enough about this world picking up warriors that don't serve us.
Yes.
But you served us.
Yes.
You gave your life for us. Yes. You gave all so that we could have all. We say thank you today in Jesus' name.
Amen.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you.
Amen. We should thank God for the vessels he has chosen to deliver his word to us. And I don't know about you all, but I enjoy Janice's passion when she preaches. I really do. And, and in accordance with God's word, he tells us that those who preach the word shall earn their living from the word. And as you know, whenever Pastor O doesn't preach, we take up a love offering for our preachers. So that's what we'll do at this time. Thank you.
Okay, I'm doing good. How are you?
Good morning.
Good morning.
Woo, what a sermon. Thank you, Jesus. Woo. Now that should wake you up. Amen.
Yes, yes.
So we received a thank you card. It says, take your glasses. I don't know why I could read better without them. Thank you for your continued support of the free lunch program, the Street Reach Out. And it says, to Pastor Overall and First Lady Sheila, Run Up for Christ Ministry, your heart for God and passion for helping others experience his life-changing love is so evident and so appreciated. He's making a wonderful difference through you. May he continue to richly bless you and our ministry. Minister Lachelle. Okay. I don't have that much. And then I'm going to have Crystal say birthday. So if we got any this month?
Okay, so we have Jonathan started off this month. Then we had Alana, Amir, St. Lynn, Darius, June.
Okay. And let's get praise with Darius is in the church with us this morning. Amen. Amen. Don't tell me what our God can't do. Alrighty, with prayer. Okay, don't forget the back table. Always look at the back table and continue to pray for our members who has lost family members. Like I said, always just reach out. And then our mothers, and then, you gonna do that? We gonna talk. And continue to pray for our mothers, and then those who are not here, not here with us. Like I said, if you don't have their numbers, sometimes just do that little phone call. I have an aunt that's 86, and I call her on Sunday, and she said, young people just don't understand just how important those phone calls is, because they don't know about that technology and texting and stuff. They want to hear it. She said, when I see your name come across my TV, I get so excited. And she's like, Tate, just keep calling me. So, yeah, so just do that. So, like I said, I don't have that much. Just go to the site. I got to find this. Jonathan sent me, Let me go to my text. I think, Jonathan, you sent me, is it going to be Stanatlas? How it's pronounced? Whatever it is, Chrysler. Stanatlas. Yeah. They're going to be doing open interviews. I think it's them. Yeah, them people. We know them as Chrysler. So they're going to be holding open interviews for production operators. There's a hiring event April 6th and April 7th. April 6th from 9 a.m. to 10 to 10:30, and then from 9 a.m. then they're going to do 10:30 and then 12. It says the event will take place on the corner, at Connor Avenue Assembly Plant, 2000 Connor Street in Detroit. So I think I sent this to you, Pastor. I don't know. I'll double check. But I made sure. But look on the site, because I think all Big Three is hiring, and they're doing these hiring events. And I think they're like hiring on the spot. And once again, most of them plants. They're running three shifts, and you have to be on time. You have to be on time. As pastors say, when we walk into a workplace, who should we be representing? Not ourselves. We need to be representing our Father. Our Father ain't never late, so we need to step our game up. So if you know somebody that's interested or need that job, look out there. And then, once again, our college kids, they're doing summer internships at all these different plants for different things and stuff like that, if that's something they're interested in. And like I said, I didn't have that much today. And always check the Michigan Work site. They have a lot of stuff. And the Wayne Metro site, because as Krista said, a lot of things that you used to have to go to the state for, you can't go to the state. They don't have the funding. Everything switched over. A lot of things switched over to Wayne Metro. All righty. That's
Detroit,
it.
Detroit has several jobs and they fell in the friend there.
Those are posted. Thank you, Deacon Eric, on our jails to job site. And those are posted. The city of Detroit is. Thank you to Jonathan. He gives us a lot. And what I like also, Jonathan, the one he sends me, I posted to, and it also has all the sites for the different food. People may need food. So have people, if you know if they need help with the food, from Gleaners and all those, they tell you the different sites, the dates, and the times for 1 week. So that information is out there also. Yeah, send it to me and I'll post it. Alrighty, everybody. Enjoy the rest of your week. Have a blessed one.
Before we go into April, I want to introduce, and most of y'all know, I have set up for preaching. Amen. Brother Preacher Counseling, the city of youth for us. Devontae Sherrard, amen. He's running for mayor this year. And, you know, he's been here on more than one occasion. So, you know, when you get ready to vote, make your decisions. Roy, some consideration. Amen. Just want to say a few words to people.
Well, the word was good. That's what I really come here for. I enjoyed the worship experience this morning. It's what I needed to hear. Sometimes we got to have confirmation. So, like, continue being in God. It's important to guide your life and to take you to where you want to go in life. You can't be successful if you don't have God in it.
That's right.
Amen. Keep God first. God will guide you through every trial and every tribulation in your life. So, I bless you. I hope that you'll consider me as the mayor this year.
I'm confident, I'm going to continue to stay in faith, and I'm going to continue to do the Lord has told me to do. God bless you. To stand into your feet, Mother Irma says hello. Keep her in your prayers. Definitely give her a call. Pray for one another. Don't forget our college students, for our teachers, all the people who need prayer, each other. This week, Marissa is funeralizing her father this week, so be in prayer. Keep her in prayer, Marissa, and us as we travel with them. Get to the song so Isaiah can sing. Thank you.
Let's receive our benediction. Now all glory to God, who is able to make you strong, just as this good news says. This message about Jesus has revealed his plan for us Gentiles, a plan kept secret from the beginning of time. But now, as the prophets foretold, and as the eternal God has commanded, this message is made known to all Gentiles everywhere, so that they too might believe and obey him. All glory to the only wise God, through Jesus Christ forever. All God's people say.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Before everybody take off, let me read you something. Bring back the family this evening and celebrating Women History Month all this month. We don't help our youth now. We're the victims of not helping later. This evening, Deaconess Kathy Clyburn runs Bring Back the Family. Her guest will be Caitlin Brooks. She's a fashion designer and marketer, graduate from Kent State University. And there'll be Sharice Conley of Mrs. Charge Term, LLC, certified etiquette coach. Those will be the guests this evening at 4 o'clock on Bring Back Your Family on Blog Talk Radio. God bless you. God keep. Thanks for coming out for a preacher.